Yeah, welcome to the show. Tonight we preview WrestleMania Backlash. Charlotte Flair, Ronda Rousey, Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, and a lot more. We're recapping SmackDown. We got Johnny North. We're live. We're ready to go. Let's do it. Yeah. We're here. Whoa, hey, Johnny's here. And we watched wrestling, did we not? My goodness, so much wrestling going on all the time. And we are here on the Ringside Report Network to recap it with you, usually on after every episode of Raw and SmackDown and Dynamite. But we've been taking it easy. I just have a new baby, so we'll be getting back to the Monday and Wednesday shows, but for now, just a Friday night show, just a nice, relaxed Friday night show, of course, on every Friday night, as usual, after SmackDown. We will be on again after WrestleMania Backlash coming up on Sunday. Looking forward to it, looking forward to WrestleMania Backlash, kind of. Johnny North is here. How are you, Johnny?
Well, I'm fine, but I think you can kind of tell, like, we're in the whole after WrestleMania season now with this week of wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, it's been this month of wrestling, hasn't it?
I think there's been ups and downs. You know, like, you get a little bit of, like, that post-WrestleMania kind of feel. Like, you had Cody on Raw. That was a big deal. And now it's not really a big deal, but... And you had some interesting matches, you know, on Dynamite. There were some interesting ladder. That ladder match was pretty interesting, I thought, a couple weeks ago. I know you weren't a big fan of it, but I thought there were still some good moments. But the thing is, now it's like, okay, now where do you go from here? I feel like when you get to that early spring type era for wrestling, there's a bit of a drag until you get to the summer.
You're saying in both companies.
Just in wrestling in general, I find, yeah.
Yeah, even the summer months traditionally not that hot until you get to August. I guess it's right. A little early this year because I think SummerSlam's in late July, which is odd. It's usually earlier, later.
That's great.
Right?
Well, it's also Saturday, too, so yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. You know, I feel like WWE since... WrestleMania has been putting on a higher quality program than AEW. The Dynamite shows over the past few weeks have not been my favorite. I feel like they're losing steam or they're losing focus. The acquisition of Ring of Honor has really kind of muddied the waters in AEW. Confusing, trying to follow who everybody is, what championship everybody's holding. Who are these people and why do I care? And you really have to watch like dozens of hours of AEW and Ring of Honor every week to really Fantastic. Keep up with what the hell they're doing, right?
AJ agrees, yeah.
AJ thinks it's fantastic. Thank you, Ray Cruz, for renewing the membership. Thank you to all the members, by the way. I see Doug Hepburn in the chat. No, my brother is not here tonight, but he will be with me here on... Sunday night after Backlash. But yeah, Alex Tara says AEW has been really boring. AEW has not been my favorite. I feel like I'm enjoying WWE more, but I'm not really enjoying WWE that much, you know? Hasn't been great. I agree with you, John. I think wrestling right now is kind of, as a whole, hasn't been great.
Well, I feel it's always around this time. There's always two moments, I find. It's like right after WrestleMania, right after SummerSlam, there's a bit of a dip. We're just everything. I don't know if it's just because they're kind of tired, the talent, or it's just they don't want them to push them too hard because they haven't pushed them too hard. But it always feels like that after like a big pay-per-view in the summer, after WrestleMania season. It just feels like, yeah, there's just a bit of a dip in terms of the quality that we see every week. And it's not as good to watch week to week.
and you're looking at this WrestleMania Backlash show, and it's basically a repeat of a bunch of stuff we've seen before. You look
at short too, though.
Yeah, I hope so. You look at SmackDown tonight, and it's just kind of a lot of nothing. Watch Raw Monday night; it's a lot of nothing. You watch
a lot of stuff.
I mean, it's tons of nothing. You watch Dynamite, and it's just like endless qualifying matches for a tournament that they finally, I think, announced brackets for.
For both sides, yes, for the men and women's. It's not a long tournament, though.
No?
I think there's only going to be quarterfinals, semis, and then finals. Like, this is going to be done pretty quick.
Well, good, because the preliminary matches to get into the tournament have taken forever.
Right.
Right? And that's been a major problem. Yeah, I guess so, but it's been a major problem with AEW TV, because it's like, what are you if you're the Owen Hart Tournament Foundation winner?
We'll find out soon enough. We'll find out after Double or Nothing, more likely, because we're going to have the winners at Double or Nothing.
Fantastic.
Like, again, yeah, I agree. And I don't know about you, looking at you haven't probably looked at the brackets, but to me, on the men's side, I'm seeing Adam Cole, Samoa Joe right now. I don't know about you.
So let me get the bracket here for you. I'm sure I could.
So we gotta ask who's gonna win.
Image. Is this an image of it? No, it's. I can't find a picture of it. I'm trying to find the bracket.
Well, I know Samoa Joe's facing the Joker, who's pretty much a mystery opponent, pretty much, that he's gonna have to face. Adam Cole is gonna face Dax Harwood.
Here we go.
And. Oh, okay, you got it.
There we go. So there is, yes, Rey Fénix against Kyle O'Reilly, Samoan Joe against the Joker, who I guess is not a person yet.
Right.
What does that mean? Dax Harwood versus Adam Cole, baby, and Darby Allin versus Jeff Hardy. Oh, that'll be good. I like that.
That's this Wednesday.
Oh, that's cool. I'll watch that. That's good. Darby and Jeff, it's kind of a dream match. So, yeah, on one side, I'd say Adam Cole the baby beats Dax Harwood. What do you like, Darby or Jeff?
It's a tough one, but I think I'd go with Darby.
And then Adam Cole winning that side of the bracket, and then you think Samoa Joe wins the other side?
Yeah.
What about Rey Fénix and Kyle O'Reilly?
Well, because it's going to be Samoa Joe, so I guess Kyle's probably going to advance.
Mm. Who's the Joker?
That's a great question. I mean, I'm going to guess, just based on, you know, what we've seen in AEW, it's just going to be someone we haven't seen yet. Maybe someone from Impact, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks, where they just randomly have someone from Impact show up.
I don't even know who's in Impact. I guess Big Cass? Is Big Cass in Impact? What? Was he? That's where he came from, right? To do that match,
that's
which
where he
was
came
not.
From.
That match sucked.
I'm not the Joker. I'd love to smash Samoa Joe, but it's not going to be me, unfortunately.
Oh my God, you and Joe would be such a good match. I would love to see that. That would be sick. Just as a fan of wrestling, you know. I'd love to see you wrestle
fun,
Joe.
But...
God.
The idea of Cesaro's good, but like Cesaro just to lose to Joe, I don't think that's a good spot for Cesaro.
Well, what if he beats Joe?
Okay, you think he's going to win the whole tournament, though?
Why not? Who cares?
I don't know. I mean, maybe him against Darby Allin, whatever, in the finals. It's not impossible, but I don't know about that one.
Cesaro is a friend of the Harts. He's Hart adjacent. He was teammates
right.
with TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd. He did a sharpshooter.
You know who would be amazing if they got Harry Smith? That'd be great.
Well, if he's in it, he has to win it. And if he's in it, it'd be like, well, they got a family member. I mean, chances are. Right?
It'd be nice. But as we've seen with a lot of guests, as the guest this past week in AEW, you could very likely lose. So I don't think it's going to be too high caliber. It's going to be a nice surprise, but nothing too crazy, I think.
It's kind of a gimmick for MJF, though. He brings guys in to lose to people he's feuding with. He did it with Jericho. Remember when Jericho had to beat all those guys? He had to beat that, what was that guy's name?
Nick Gage.
The pizza guy? Yeah, Nick Gage. And there were Hoovy, Air Hoovy, right? There was somebody else. It might have been Wardlow at the time. I don't know. But yeah.
Something like that.
Didn't MJF brought somebody in? He brought in Hoovy, Nick Gage, and somebody else, didn't he?
I want to say Jericho had to wrestle one of the FTR, didn't he? Maybe he had to wrestle Dax. Possibly.
Yeah, maybe. But MJF, again, he's like bringing guys in for a one-night shot to lose to whoever he's feuding with. And this week it was Wardlow against Big Cass, who's like friends with MJF, I guess. Or MJF paid him money to come and wrestle Wardlow for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
What was the reason?
Yeah, because money, I guess. Like, I have no idea what the reason was. I'm surprised Impact would just have two of their top stars just come on another show and just completely lose. I mean, they didn't get destroyed, but both lost.
Big Cass is a top star in Impact?
Oh, yeah. He just wrestled for the title not long ago.
And that's why I'm not watching Impact.
I can understand why you're not watching Impact, but this is what we saw. Like, he looked good, though, in terms of his physique. Like, he looked amazing.
Yeah, of course. He looks amazing. He's gigantic and jacked. He looks like $1 million, but once that bell rings, once he gets a microphone in his hands.
But the match served its purpose. Like, that powerbomb was fantastic. Like, I was a little worried for that one, but they pulled it off. Thankfully, it wasn't four. If it was four, it would have been a problem, possibly.
Yeah, Wardlow could do one, which is impressive. He was able to do it. You know? I don't know. I didn't even see the main event of Dynamite this week. I missed it. And I could have gone back and watched it, but I didn't hear great things. And I really wasn't that interested. It was Deonna Puro Wrestle versus... Mercedes Martinez.
Correct, yep. For the unified ROH women's title. And that's
whatever
the problem
that
is that there's...
Whatever that is. Who even knew that there were two ROH women's champions? Who even knew that there were two, you know, women claiming to be the champion? This was to unify some sort of championship in dispute, I'm assuming. I had no idea he was even in dispute. I had no idea either of these women were even involved in the Ring of Honor Championship. I thought Deonna Purrazzo was in Impact. I didn't know she was in Ring of Honor, too. I didn't know you could just go anywhere.
Well, I think at the time, like, it was okay. Maybe now it won't be. I don't know, but...
And that was a main event of Dynamite?
Yeah, it was surprising. I guess they're really trying to push ROH, but it didn't really work. Like, honestly, like, they started the night with Jeff Hardy and Bobby Fish, and that would have served better as the main event.
Yeah.
The crowd was so into that match compared to the main event. But that's also not, like, the talent's fault, too. It's like the build wasn't there. The people had no reason to be invested in this. If you don't know ROH or like really hardcore about like what's going on with that or the wrestlers, like, you just don't care. Most people watch that show who just watch Dynamite pretty much had no idea what the hell that was, which is, you know, again, not the talent's fault. It's more on the way that was booked.
How the hell is that your main event? How do you main event the show with that? What was that? It was ridiculous. And the rest of the show, you know, Santana, Jericho, whatever that was. What'd you think of that?
I thought there was like a lot of interference, but Jericho's good at keeping you entertained in matches. He does little things in his matches. Like the jump start was not the best thing because like every match is a jump start, but like the fact that he kept it entertaining, the brawling was actually decent. Jericho's good at little things that he does, but I just thought it was overwhelming how it's just like there's stuff going on the outside, there's stuff going on the inside. It felt a little too much, but it's Jericho, so I feel like he kind of makes it work, but not too many people could pull that off.
I have very little interest in the whole thing that's going on with Jericho and Santana and Ortiz and Eddie Kingston. Like it's dragged. I feel like they had a pay-per-view match to settle things. Didn't Jericho and Kingston wrestle the last pay-per-view? Why is this
That
still going
started things,
on?
actually.
Yeah, well, that's not the way to start things. I don't understand why this is going on. I'm not interested in it. I love Jericho. I think he looks like a million bucks. I even like that he's calling himself the Wizard. The Wizard, Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I
But
asked that, like, why?
I don't know. Whatever, he needs a new
Yeah.
name. Who cares? Doesn't matter. I
He
like
doesn't
it.
need a name,
Yeah,
but
he
okay.
always needs a new name, you know? The Ayatollah of Rock and Roll is too old. He's got to do something else. The Wizard, Chris Jericho. He's the Painmaker is over. He's got to evolve. It's what he does. I'm fine with him being the Wizard. It's ridiculous. But everything else, I'm just like, eh. I'm just not buying Santana and Ortiz with this whole thing and the rest of the Jericho mob. Like, what's the end
Right.
game to all of this? What's the point?
Well, I think the end game is we're gonna get like a stadium stampede, blood and guts kind of match. I
Yeah.
think that's what we're gonna get the pay-per-view
Who
probably.
needs another one of those?
I wouldn't mind blood and guts. Blood and guts is okay. Stadium
Not one of
stampede, not so much.
it's gonna be one of those stampedes.
Oh, I hope blood and guts like the first one was good, and they can make it even better, I think. To me, this feud. It needs that match, not same Stampede. That's too ridiculous.
Yeah. Blood and guts with like three members of the Jericho squad versus Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. Jericho and Hager and another man, Garcia, I guess, right?
That's my guess, yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Dante Martin and Rey Fénix, which, you know, I don't need that. It is what it is, but I don't need it.
Well, I went into this being like, uh-oh, this is just going to be Cirque du Soleil. However, I was very impressed by some things that I saw. That like reverse Spanish fly they did, that was pretty incredible. Like I've never seen anything like that. So, and the fact that it was a little ridiculous that they did the whole like backflip off the top and they both landed on each other, like on their feet, and they looked at each other. That was a little ridiculous, but it's still. It looked cool that they could pull that off. It's not easy to do that kind of stuff. I know. So, like, I give them a lot of credit for what they pulled off because it's very difficult to do what they did. It's just some things were a little too ridiculous.
It's
I feel like half
gymnastics.
the match I liked. Yeah. Half the match I liked, half the match was silly. So somewhere in between I liked it and didn't like it.
They're very good gymnasts.
Well,
I'm
to me,
not
Rey
sure about
Fénix is.
professional wrestling, but gymnastics they're really good at. Especially that Dante Martin. Imagine him on a trampoline. That guy would be fantastic. But in the ring, it's like, all right, man. What is that exactly? I don't know. It's not for me.
Well,
I get it's imp I can't do it. It's impressive. Like it's cool and all, but I'm
right.
like there's only so much of that I can see. You know what I mean? Like it's cool and fine, but it's just like it's Rey Fénix and Dante Martin. Oh gee, I wonder if they'll do a flip. You know what I mean? I wonder if they'll jump on the ropes and do some sort of and it's like, yeah, okay, and they'll do some impressive stuff, but it's like it's so far removed from what I like in wrestling. It's just like it's too choreographed, you know?
100%. completely agree with you, but we didn't see really any other match that had this kind of style to it. So I didn't mind. As long as this kind of match isn't overdone, and they threw some innovative stuff out there. So I didn't really mind it that much. I mean, fans went crazy for it. Like, I have to say, Baltimore was fantastic. Like, that's what helped the show a lot, was the fact that you had a hot crowd. A hot crowd can make a bad show really good, just because they're into everything.
I will say that if you are at a live show and you're seeing a wrestling show and the guys are flipping off the top rope and doing all sorts of dives and stuff, it is really cool to see live. You know, like,
right.
In person, those things are even more impressive. On TV, it's just like, yeah, whatever. It looks like a video game. So you kind of treat it like a video game. It's like, yeah, whatever. But when you see it in person, it's like, man, those are humans doing that stuff. You know, it's more impressive in person. So I could see the crowd being into that. And I get it. And I would be too. Just like on TV, a lot of these kind of flippy matches look the same. And they don't really have a point. It's like if it was for a title, I'd be maybe a little more invested. But depends the title and it depends on the character, you know?
Well, another point too is like when you're watching on TV, you see more of like an exposed angle of it. Where when you're watching it live, you're not really looking for all the little things. You just see like, oh, this thing happened. But you don't see like the shot before where the punch looked like garbage. You just see like they moved around and suddenly boom, big flip.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah, it's different. It's a different experience watching it live and watching it on TV for sure. WWE's coming to Montreal here, John, in August. For SmackDown.
I think we talked about this before, didn't we? Like, it was rumored before.
They made it official this week, I think.
Right. 19th of August.
Are you in? I'm buying tickets.
Oh, well, probably. Well, I got a friend who's got to get me tickets, so I'm okay. But thank you.
Oh, you got somebody getting you, like, in for free?
I got an inside guy, possibly, yeah.
Who's getting... Oh, you tell me later.
Yeah, that's it. We'll talk later.
Fine. Well, I guess you're not coming with me and Fred and Zev and AJ.
Well, you got a whole crew now. Like, brother. It's crazy now.
Yeah, we got a whole squad. My son, my brother, Fred, AJ. Like, you should be
AJ's
part of...
AJ's, like, sons.
I think my dad is coming. You should be coming, too.
Yeah, you got, like, an army coming with you. Like, that's a lot of people.
We roll deep, man. Come on, it's SmackDown, baby. TV taping. We're going. Party time.
I will say, though, I feel Raw was better than SmackDown last time around. I don't know how you felt about that, but last time, because I think they did a double shot here, didn't they?
Yeah, the Raw show was better back then, but I think Raw was, I mean, SmackDown wasn't on Fox back then. I don't think
that's true. It was back when it was on Tuesday, SmackDown.
Yeah, different story now. Now it's the Tribal Chief show. It's pretty good. It's much better. It's about, you know, Tribal Chief.
We'll see, though. August 19th, though. I wonder if people show up. That's interesting.
It's funny, Roman Reigns, for me, has kind of got to this John Cena point. Where for a long time, I was just fighting against Cena because I was like, no, this is not the guy. Like, because I could see them building Cena as their top guy. And I was like, no, not him. Look at all these other guys. Take these other guys. And then at a certain point, it was just too late. It was like so far and they'd gone so far with Cena and he was just clearly the guy. And I was just like, ah. Cena, all right, you know, just get him, Cena, you know, because it was just like, oh, it's so ridiculous that you just have to go with it. You just have to give in to John Cena. And I'm kind of at that point with Roman Reigns where it's like, man, come on, this guy, this is your guy. And he's kind of, you know, like, he's not my favorite guy in WWE, like, by far, he's not. But when I see him now, I'm just like, all right, Roman, you know, Tribal Chief, he's the man. Because I've given up. And if you're going to watch WWE and try and enjoy it, you have to just accept and acknowledge the Tribal Chief, right? You just have to.
You've come a long way, Dave. Come a long way.
I have, right?
I mean, it started off where it's like, screw Roman, I can't stand this. This is the worst WWE ever of all time, to like acknowledgement. It's
well,
great.
He's not the worst WWE champion of all time. I mean, Miz, what? Jinder.
When it started.
I mean, had some bad champions.
I remember the Jey Uso stuff. You didn't like that stuff.
It was not good. It was not good. This is better. Where he's not really wrestling so much. He's got his army behind him. All the belts. It's better now.
Well, now he's more comfortable, I think. You know, like, I think before he was more feeling out his role and getting used to what he could do and what works. Now I think he has a good idea of what he's doing. Plus, yeah. It helps have, you know, Heyman, you know, guiding him all the way.
I want to talk about Roman here in a second. I just want to wrap up a little bit of AEW stuff. The Blackpool Club of Combat beat some guys this week. The Butcher, the Blade.
Butcher, Blade.
And Angelico.
And Angelico.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say. It works all the same.
What the hell are those guys doing in the ring with Bryan Danielson? My main problem with AEW is that they have Bryan Danielson, and he's not their world champion. That's my main problem with AEW. Also that, you know, he comes out first, and then Wheeler Utah comes out, and then Jon Moxley makes his entrance. Like, why is Bryan coming out first? What's the deal there? I just don't like the way that AEW is treating their top stars.
There's an argument to be made that, you know, the first one that comes out, that gets the biggest pop because it's the first one that comes out, right?
Yeah.
There's an argument to be made for that. Now, I can also understand the last one is like, well, that's the bigger deal, right? The last one comes out. However, because of his song, I think Moxie has to come out last all the time because that's the song everyone sings along to. So even Wheeler, who they're pushing more than anybody, he's coming out in the middle because Moxie's song is just so overpowering.
Wheeler's coming out in the middle because you need a pop at the beginning, and Wheeler's not going to get it.
Right.
And you need a big finish, and Wheeler ain't that. Wheeler is just dragging them down. I know people like Wheeler Utah, and I don't really get it. A lot of these AEW fans, I think, are the reason why AEW is where it is right now. They're just like
I
all
like the
over
montage,
these people.
Though.
What montage?
You didn't see that where like Regal, like Danielson, Moxley, they had like a training montage together?
Yeah.
I like that. That was pretty good. They're beating up Wheeler. Like that. I like that. Just talking about how vicious they are. Like if you give someone a knife, you know, you would just stab to kill. Like us, we would just like cut you across the cheek and make you suffer. It's good. These are dangerous people.
Yeah. I don't believe it, though. I don't buy it. Bryan Danielson's not that guy. He's not a mean guy. He's not going to stab you with a knife.
Will he torture people? Possibly, I think, yes.
I don't think so. I mean, it's, you know, define torture. Is he going to turn you into a pretzel? I mean, maybe.
Exactly.
But that's fine. That's another deal. I just, you know, this Blackpool Combat Club thing, the Wheeler Utah push, the fact that AEW is so insistent on putting championships on their homegrown guys only right now, I think is slowing them down. There's so much that is slowing AEW down. The Owen Hart tournament, all these qualifying matches that just lead to nothing. That's been slowing the company down. The Ring of Honor people come in and going for no apparent reason, slowing the company down. The New Japan stuff that's very confused. They sold out their show, The Forbidden Door, which I understand because people are expecting the world. And hopefully we get it. I'm not giving up on AEW, but I'm like worried a little bit because they need to right the ship. And I understand pushing your homegrown guys like Hangman is fantastic. The Jungle Boys are not. Scorpion Sky is just not charismatic on television at all. He's a decent wrestler, but not good enough to outweigh his lack of charisma and intrigue on TV. Like, who cares about this guy when you see him? He's a channel changer. And they don't have that many champions. Their women's champion, Thunder Rosa, again, charisma, vacuum. And they need to right the ship. They need to right the ship in a major way. And there's only one way to do it. The best way to do it is give your world championship to somebody capable that is a legitimate, bankable star like CM Punk. It's goddamn time. Hangman's promo was good this week. I liked it. I liked the mean Hangman, maybe a bit of a heelish Hangman going into the match with Punk. I liked how they set it up. It was good stuff from Hangman. I didn't like the comment about Bret Hart, not because it was a little bit disparaging towards Bret Hart, but because what is he trying to say? That wrestling is this thing that you work out with your opponent in the back, and then you go and do the match that you have planned that is in tribute to Bret because you're doing Bret-style moves? What is he saying exactly when he says that? I'm tired of these people in wrestling in their promos talking about, oh, I'm having five-star matches, I'm doing this. It's like, talk about how you're going to beat the guy. Don't talk about how great of a match you're going to have. Ask a UFC fighter if they want to have fight of the night. They don't want to have fight of the night. They want to get a knockout bonus. They want their fight to last 5 seconds. They don't want a knockout, drag out war. They don't want that. They want to finish it quick, go home to their family without cuts and bruises on their body. That's what a wrestler should be trying to portray. He shouldn't be saying, like, we're not going to have this style match. We're going to have a different kind of match. It's going to be more violent. And it's like, okay, well, so it's fake and you're... I don't like that stuff. I don't like that kind of stuff in a promo. I thought the promo was really good. It had intensity. And then it was like, well, let's pull the curtain for a second. And then let's pull it back. But pull the curtain in like a shooty way. But it's like, no, that's not what you need to do. That's not how it works. Are you with me on that?
I get where you're seeing it, but I could also see like their way of looking at it, where it's like, I don't think he meant it as in like, we're going to do this planned match. It's more of like, you're going to do a match and you're going to try to do Bret Hart moves to me and make it seem like you're doing a tribute to Bret Hart. That's kind of the way I looked at that. But
yeah, but yeah, you know what he's saying.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, that's the thing about a lot of promos. You could take it so many different ways where he says that. And, like, to me, you know, that came off a bit heelish, but you needed that. Because he kind of said it, too, where it's like, I go in there and shake his hand, but I don't want to do that. And yeah. I'm glad he's not going to do that. You saw the women did that later on, like Serena and Thunder Rosa, and that promo was garbage because it's like, I don't want to think about, I respect you, but I'm going to beat you. That's boring. I want some aggression. I want some, like, I don't like you, and I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to destroy you is what he said. I like that. Like, that's what sells a match. And he did a good job selling the match. And we don't have a lot of build for this, but just that one promo, and it's like, yeah, I'm interested.
I like the intensity of the Hangman promo. I like the angle that he took. Yeah, going at the fan, too. Yeah, saying you with the Punk shirt, you're going to burn it, you know, all that stuff. I like that. I thought Hangman was good. I thought the whole promo was, you know, pretty good. That Bret Hart line could have come out of it. But overall, I thought it was really well done. It was my favorite part of the whole show.
I can see that.
I mean, I don't know. There was nothing else really on the show that I loved. I thought Hardy and Fish was pretty good. But I like that Hangman promo. I thought it was the best piece of business they did over the 2 hours of Dynamite. And you're building towards your world championship. It's your world champion coming out, cutting a promo. It should be the highlight of the show.
Yeah,
it should be.
Yeah, in terms of promos, it probably was. I still like that Jeff Hardy Bobby Fish match a bit more, but not by much. It was probably they definitely had the segment. Hangman had the segment, I think, of the night. But I thought, to me, the best thing was to watch was that match. For some reason, like the first match of Dynamite, that's the match to watch.
If somebody were to ask me, you know, what's the one thing that I should see on Dynamite this week, I'd say it was the Hangman promo. You know?
Well, that's the most important, if you think about it.
That's it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It was the most important thing and the most entertaining thing on the whole program. Hangman Adam Page. And that's the thing. Like, I don't dislike Hangman as the champion. I dislike CM Punk and Bryan Danielson not being champion.
Right.
I think
and not
Hangman,
being in the top picture at all.
Yeah, I think Hangman should be the TNT champion, which would make the TNT championship like mean something. But now it's too late because you can't go from world championship to the TNT title. It makes you look bad. But, you know, like, you need to make your world champion somebody that's like a super high level, big time wrestling star. And Hangman is on his way to being that, but he's not that now. Kenny was that. Moxley was that. Jericho. Like, all their champions before Hangman were legit, bankable wrestling stars that had proven themselves in other companies, which I don't think is a bad thing. A lot of AEW fans are like, whoa, just all WWE guys and... If you made it to the WWE, especially if you made it to the top level of the WWE, that's good. That means you're pretty good. And, you know, somebody saw something in you. Jon Moxley, Bryan Danielson, Chris Jericho, those guys all made it to the top level of the WWE, former WWE champions. I think that's a plus, not a negative. I don't understand. I don't understand why these people are like, whoa, it can't be all these WWE guys. Why not? They're good. The guys that weren't in the WWE, a lot of them never made it for some reasons, you know?
Well,
and,
I mean,
you
if
know,
you look
Hangman back... could make it to, I mean, Hangman could make it to WWE, but I don't think he'd be the top guy right now, even if he had signed. Sorry, John, you were saying?
Well, it's just like if you look back at WWF, even like in the Attitude Era, like the top guys they had, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin came from WCW, Undertaker, WCW, Triple H, WCW. I mean, they all weren't like WWF made guys. They came from somewhere else that, you know, they just picked them up at the right time and they found the good use for them. It's really that. Like, yeah, you can say, yes, Punk wrestled WWF like, you know, almost a decade ago. But, you know, it's totally different Punk now, I feel now.
Yeah. And, you know, him, Bryan Danielson, it's not like their whole wrestling personas were created in the WWE. You know, it's a Ring of Honor. I mean, Indies, you know, it's before. And it's continued. And I just, you know, I think Hangman is great, but I think CM Punk would help AEW kind of figure things out and right the ship, because I think they're going in all sorts of weird directions right now. The women's championship, the TNT title, their tag team titles, like if they could get the tag titles on FTR and their world title on CM Punk, I think that'd be a major step in the right direction and then go from there.
That's interesting, the tag titles, because it feels like that can go so many different ways. There's so many tag teams. I mean, you saw the confrontation with the Hardys and the Young Bucks. That could potentially happen. That'd be interesting. Like, FTR, like, you would think them as tag champs, but them having other titles, maybe that's the problem. That they don't want to put too many titles on them, possibly.
Maybe. In which case, you know, the Hardys are a pretty good option. I don't hate that at all.
Yep.
Yeah. It's the Hardys. Yeah. It's legit. It's about as legit as you have in AEW.
They get some of the biggest reactions, without question. They're still over. They still can move and still can work. They, you know, use them now. Like, it's not going to last forever.
Well, that's it. It's the Hardys. They're still good. They're over like crazy. What's wrong with that? You know, like, I don't.
It's not going to last.
Well, that's it. It's not going to be there forever. So how about go with it? This is the thing with AEW right now. It's like they're trying to put themselves in their future now. It's like Jungle Boy, Hangman, Scorpio, Sammy Guevara in 5 years. Yes. Now? No. Put the, like, because in 5 years, you think that Punk and Brian in their late 40s, early 50s are going to still want to be top level wrestling and are going to be as good as they are right now? You've got a short window with so many of your top guys and you're just kind of fucking around. And then you have these guys that are very good and they're young, but they have years ahead of them. And you could do all these things with them properly if you build them now, instead of just giving them the belts and making them your main stars now when they're just not ready. And you see the results with AEW, the fan base is like, eh. The hardcore fan base is like, we love this. We love all our homegrown AEW guys. And it's like, come on. Like the people that hate WWE and love AEW and think, you know, whatever. Like those people are loving it. But for kind of rational wrestling fans that watch both shows and are cool with, you know, some aspects and not cool with others, a lot of us are looking at AEW right now going like, huh? What's going on? What happened to AEW? What happened to the hope? What happened to the revolution? I guess it went to WWE. Like, ever since Cody left, man, I'm telling you, ever since Cody left, the company's been weird.
Well, the direction's changed a bit. But, I mean, maybe that's a good thing as well. Because I know a lot of people didn't want to see Brandi going for the women's championship. And thankfully, that got stopped for a lot of people. So, you know, you take the good with the bad, I think, with that. I mean, I think Cody was a great spot on Dynamite. However, I've said this before in the past, and I feel like this was the story. CM Punk replaced him. Cody was the star of the show, and CM Punk took his spot. Pretty much what happened.
Yeah, I mean, sure, maybe. But I'm just making a point that since he's been gone, AEW has not been the same. It has been worse, in my opinion. Since he's debuted in WWE, AEW has taken a weird step that I'm not a fan of.
I can see in some ways, yes. Again, some ways, yes, some ways, no. Like, I think it was good for Cody to move on. I think he had done all he could in AEW. And I think it's great for him to be in WWF. WWE gives him some fresh matches, you know. It changes it up a bit. Lets him be himself that he wanted to be, that he couldn't be in AEW. So, I think it's win-win for everybody. It gave someone else an opportunity that Cody was taking up screen time for, so. You know, you let other people step up now. I understand you don't like the House of Black and all that stuff, but honestly, this week was probably the best I saw House of Black with that Varsity Blonde segment.
I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it? Okay.
It was good.
But, well, I just like that, you know, Pillman Jr., you saw him, they gave him a chance with the promo. Wasn't the greatest promo in the world, but you saw that he was trying. And then he wanted to, like, you know, show that they could fight the House of Black. Obviously, a dumb idea. I mean, it's 3-on-2. Like, you're going to get your butts kicked, and that's what happened. But the whole fact that they finally went after Julia Hart, because they have the whole eye patch thing, and they try to manipulate her to attack the Varsity Blondes. But then she couldn't do it, and then they yelled at her, and then she started crying. And then she had to be saved by... the Death Triangle.
Huh? So like, who is she with?
Yeah. No, she's still with the Varsity Blondes. They try to make her attack them, but she couldn't do it.
Okay.
So she's still with them.
I thought she was, like, against them. Wasn't she kind of, like, turning on them at some point?
Well, that's why they confronted the House of Black. They're like, you're the ones that have done this to Julia. Now we're going to take you guys down for that. And then they...
And then she decided to stay with them? For no apparent reason?
Yeah, they gave her... Well, they gave her a chair to bash in, I think, Griff Garrison's head. And she raised it up, but then she couldn't do it. And then they yelled at her, and she started crying. And then they gave the save and all
not,
that. So.
Not mad I missed that. Not mad I missed that at all, John. That sounds terrible.
Honestly, it was the best use of the House of Black. Like, Malachi was very good in that. Mm. Like, it's one of the rare weeks where I thought the House of Black was better than the House of Edge.
I don't like the House of Edge or the House of Black. Harold Schneider, who's been a member now for a full year. Thank you, Harold. He says he hasn't watched AEW in ages. Huh. Interesting. Franco316 has been a member for 5 months now. He says it's all screwed up because of hockey playoffs. I think he's talking about Raw and Sportsnet. SmackDown, not on Sportsnet or on OLN. I found out and I got one of those cable packages where I can just switch a channel out real easy. And then replace it with something else. So I got OLN for however long Raw and SmackDown are on OLN for. So I'm all right. Although SmackDown, I don't care if it's on OLN. I watch it on Fox because I have Fox. So that works, right?
Well, I just have the app. So it has everything. So it's fine.
I see. You watch it through an app. I watch it on a TV. I'm old-timey. I watch things on cable TV. You're very cool and new. You watch things on apps and phones and whatever. Hockey playoffs are going on. That's why Raw and SmackDown have been moved around. I thought it was basketball playoffs. Is it both?
Both's going down. But I think basketball's screwing up Rampage.
Oh, yeah. That's why Rampage is on at like 5 o'clock. I didn't see Rampage at all. I forgot about it.
It's on at 5:30. And apparently it'll be on another special early time. They haven't even announced what the special early time will be. It just says special early time next week.
Yeah, whatever. That's how important Rampage is. It's on at 5:30. Who watches wrestling at 5:30 on a Friday? Not me, obviously.
I actually did.
Yeah, you did. Sorry, John, but I didn't. Okay, we should get to this WrestleMania Backlash thing. Maybe some SmackDown too, right? We did watch SmackDown tonight. But we've been talking about AEW and the problems there for way too long, John. Way too long.
Well, we had a lot to talk about. It's fine.
I suppose. A lot of problems. Got a lot of problems with you people. All right. WrestleMania Backlash is this Sunday. Charlotte Flair cut an in-ring promo to start SmackDown tonight, talking about Long Island, saying some things about how it's not good and how she's going to beat Ronda Rousey and make her say I quit at WrestleMania Backlash. And Aaliyah is in the ring for some reason.
They're supposed to have a match.
They're supposed to have a match, right? But it never wound up happening because Charlotte just beat up Aaliyah. And then Ronda Rousey showed up and started brawling with Charlotte, and they brawled for a while. And referees and agents tried to stop them, but they couldn't. And then they kept fighting. And eventually, Ronda seems to get the upper hand, and Charlotte escaped. Ronda versus Charlotte in the I Quit match for the SmackDown Women's title. It feels like Ronda will take it here, right?
I think so, unless they have some brilliant screw job kind of finish, which could easily happen. You know, the whole Shane McMahon thing where they record the I Quit. I'm sure she may have said it possibly in the past in promo. You can always throw that in there, possibly. It's been a while since they've done that. Unless they throw something like that in there, you know, Ronda is going to win if it's just a straight-up match. Like, I can't see her not winning, especially, like, you thought she was going to WrestleMania. When she didn't pull that one off, it's like, wow, she's winning the rematch.
You think Charlotte maybe does a Rock Mankind I Quit deal where she has like audio of Ronda saying I quit and she puts it there and it plays on the speakers. I quit. Remember that when that was Rock and Mankind, right? It was an I Quit match and Rock stuck the microphone in Mankind's face and you heard him say I quit, but it was a recording of Mankind talking about the match and a promo, right? He didn't actually say it. They could do that.
Well, Mankind screwed himself because he said that on Sunday Night Heat. He's like, I'll never scream the words, I quit. And then Shane McMahon's like, thanks a lot, Mick. You helped us up more than you know. And like, Shane. Obviously what happened a couple hours later.
Ah, Shane and Dwayne, that terrible duo. Those guys, they screwed old Mick Foley. Mrs. Foley's baby boy. Doug Heppern dropping a super chat. He says, you guys call it like it is. Thanks, boys. Well, thank you, Doug. And we do. We just call it like we see it. We just see it, and then we call it. That's what we do. Derek John says, today on TNT and TBS, it's hockey playoffs, not basketball. Well, TNT and TBS carry hockey. I don't have either channel, so I really wouldn't know. Who's winning the hockey? I think I said it was going to be LA and New York in the finals, because that was a lucky guess. I didn't even know they were in the playoffs, but that was my my guess. When did I guess that?
I think you're doing okay.
Was that on Ringside Report?
No, that was last week.
Was that with
I
you?
Think on, yeah, last week.
Yeah.
Your brother was on.
Oh, yeah. That's why. I was like, it was three guys. So it must have been Ringside Report. No, it was you, me, and my brother.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it seems like Ronda wins. Ronda beats Charlotte, makes her say, I quit. And then goes on to face the heel Lacey Evans? Is Lacey Evans going to turn heel? I feel like she will. Lacey Evans does another one of those sob story promos talking about her life, and now she's going to be a SmackDown Women's Champion. And then the ring announcer is in the ring and says, oh, we appreciate Lacey Evans and her story so much, and now Lacey has asked for the proper respect. Please applaud now for Lacey Evans. And Lacey comes out and she's all like teary-eyed and smiling and she hugs the crowd and that was it. Is this going to be like a fake inspirational thing where like you're supposed to hate her? Like she turns on the crowd, you know, like I went through all of this and I have to perform in front of you, stupid people. You know, like, stuff like that.
Well, this is just the way I looked at it. Without them even, like, guiding us in this direction, it's just that, you know, she told her sob story, and it's very sad. But then it's like, you know, poor me. You need to appreciate me. You know, everything I went through. And now the whole, like, you have to applaud me.
Yeah.
It's like that never goes well when you tell the fans you have to do something because they'll immediately go against you if you do that. So I feel like it's going to be something like that. It's starting off, I think, like this, where she's going to be a face. I mean, yeah, a face and then probably heel, which makes sense for a Ronda title win.
It was super weird, though, right? Because over the past few weeks, it's like, oh, I guess it's a Lacey babyface thing where she's like telling her story and it seems real and it seems like rough and yeah, you'd feel sympathy for her. Okay. And then the ring announcer's like, Lacey wants the proper respect. Please applaud. And then the fans didn't know what to do. They were like, well, I mean, she just told this terrible story about her life. So I guess we're going to cheer her, you know, we'll do it, but why are you telling us to do it? You know, like it was weird. And I'm watching it like, what is going on here? Do they mean to make Lacey seem like she's turning heel already? Or was that supposed to be an all-the-way babyface reaction? It was bizarre. It was bizarre. I think it's turning heel, but I can't tell.
Well, look at the landscape of SmackDown, though. We kind of talked about this last week. I mean, if Ronda's the face, who's she facing? Because you have Sasha, babyface, and besides Charlotte, is there really a top heel? Not really. You know, I think we said Natty and Shayna, and that's not really top heels. Like, okay, that's maybe you can get a pay-per-view out of Shayna. That's about it, though. Lacey, that could last quite a few, I think.
Yeah, if Lacey is turning heel, which I have no idea. I can't tell.
Didn't Xia Li say, like, oh, she's not a savior anymore? She's not a hero anymore? She's just out for herself? So isn't Xia Li a heel now?
Was she on SmackDown?
Oh, she was on a couple. She shows up, disappears, shows up, disappears. So
yeah,
she's around somewhere.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I haven't seen her. I mean, she is okay. Small, so maybe I missed her. I don't know. Derek John is saying, Derek John, member of the team. He says, Ronda versus Bayley. And Charlotte versus Lacey. I mean, if Bayley comes back, Bayley is a heel against Ronda. Makes sense. Charlotte versus Lacey. I don't really know. I think Lacey's going to turn heel. So her against Charlotte, I don't know. Maybe Lacey, Ronda. I mean, Lacey did say in her promo, I'm going to be the next SmackDown Women's Champion.
Yep.
So it seems like she's going for the gold. And the babyface thing against Charlotte would be weird, I think. I don't know. I think Ronda's going to win. Harold Schneider dropping a super chat says, will SmackDown in Montreal be entertaining? I mean, that's a big question, Harold. Was tonight's SmackDown entertaining? I mean, I think it'll be fine. I'm going to say yes, it will be entertaining. I'm buying a bunch of tickets for it next week, so, I mean, I goddamn well better hope it's entertaining. What will they be building up to? SummerSlam? No, SummerSlam. So SmackDown's going to be on August 19th in Montreal. A live SmackDown show here, TV show on a Friday night. They will not be building up to SummerSlam because SummerSlam is taking place July 30th in Nashville, Tennessee. Early SummerSlam this year, usually in mid-August, but this year in late July, like I mentioned earlier. They're actually going to be building up to something called Clash at the Castle, taking place September 3rd in Cardiff, Wales. That'll be their next premium live event, as Johnny North likes to call them. September the 3rd will be what they are building towards after SummerSlam, the Clash at the Castle in Wales. How about it?
What's capacity on that?
For the building?
I think that's gigantic, if not mistaken.
Principality Stadium. Yes, it is a big old place. Big. Capacity 78,000. Woof.
Yep. Wow.
Big place. Big place. 78,000 they've put in there for a boxing match. So it's a rugby stadium in Wales. Principality Stadium. Well,
it's going to be a fun afternoon pay-per-view for us. Or premium live event, sorry.
Yeah, that'll be good. Cardiff, Wales. First pay-per-view for the WWE in Europe in like 30 years or something, right?
Since what was the Rebellion or No Mercy or something like that they had?
I think it's Insurrection.
Oh, was it that even? Wow, okay.
That's
2003,
so.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's been too long.
Let's see. That's what it's saying here. That's the info I have.
Insurrection sounds right. 2003.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
I think it was Insurrection. First pay-per-view to take place. First major stadium event to take place in the UK since SummerSlam 92. First major event in general to take place in the UK since Insurrection 2003. This according to the very reliable Wikipedia. So I'll take that to the bank. Bank on it. Who said that?
Was it Matt Hardy?
Was it? When he had Money in the Bank? Bank on it.
I remember he said money
at the bank.
Yeah, Money at the Bank. That's it.
When I win Money at the Bank.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt Hardy.
Classic,
good
Matt Hardy.
Good man. All right. So we've got Ronda over Charlotte to be the new SmackDown Women's Champion. And that would be the only title change on this show because it is the only title match on this show. So is it the
Slim
main
card.
Event? Or is Roman the main event?
Oh, yeah. Roman's the main event. Come on. Yeah.
But he's in a six-man with
still.
No belts. The match that was supposed to be to unify the Raw and SmackDown tag team titles between the Usos and RK-Bro last week got changed to Roman Reigns and the Usos versus Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro in a non-title match, even though Roman is double champion and RK-Bro are Raw tag champs and Usos are SmackDown champs. What?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I don't know about you. I think it's just because they're trying to delay that title change to give Hell in a Cell something, you know? I think that's the
Hell
plan.
Hell in a Cell is 4 weeks away from Backlash.
Right.
4 weeks of TV. They really don't have a lot of time to build. So it's just a delay. And Roman versus Drew for the title will take place at Hell in a Cell. Meanwhile, what is this card? This card is terrible.
It feels like it's just like a bunch of matches just sloppily put together. And it's like this could be on Raw and SmackDown. It feels like it's just an extra episode of Raw and SmackDown this Sunday.
It's WrestleMania leftovers. You know, when you have a meal.
Pretty much.
You know, and it's like pretty good. You know what this feels like? You know when you have fries, you know, and they're mm-hmm. good because they're fresh. You know, fresh French fries are delicious. Everybody likes French fries, right?
They're okay.
Yeah, all right, fine. But then, you know, you wait a while, they get a little cold. Then you try to reheat them, but they never get the same crispiness. You know, it's never as good.
Right.
That's what WrestleMania Backlash is. They're the reheated fries of WrestleMania. Ugh. It's not like leftover pizza, which is still good. Cold pizza, fine. That's not what this is. I'd be loving WrestleMania cold pizza. I'm getting WrestleMania reheated fries. Sucks. We need a lot of ketchup on this shit. Everybody better be bleeding. Otherwise, this show's going to be awful. Just the bad leftovers of WrestleMania. Just like, eh, this is what we have left. Here's some scraps. Put this together. Make a meal out of it. No. I think this meal's going to make me sick.
You know, in the end, it's just a bunch of matches, rematches, that we've already seen for the most part, that more than likely you might see again. So this is just something to help fill the time until we get to some bigger shows. Like, don't we have Money in the Bank coming up right after Hell in a Cell before even SummerSlam?
Yeah.
Like, where are all these pay-per-views coming from exactly? Like,
Hell in a Cell is June 5th. So it's
right?
it's in four weeks. And then Money in the Bank is like 4 weeks after that on July 2nd in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium, which is like the NFL stadium. Money in the Bank is at a football stadium.
SummerSlam 3 weeks later?
SummerSlam is like 3-4 weeks later at Nissan Stadium, which I think is a football stadium too. My God, they're doing a lot. They're doing three stadium shows in a row. Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, and that castle thing in Wales. Three straight stadium shows in pretty rapid succession. Especially that Money in the Bank, July 2nd, SummerSlam, July 30th. They're trying to do two stadium shows in a month. They're doing good business. Damn.
Good business. I worry about that Montreal show because you got a roster that's going to go through two stadium shows and they're going to be revving up for a third one. I'd be worried about television. I think television's going to suffer.
Yeah, I mean, why put in the effort? They got to book it right, though. They got to, you know, they got to put in the effort for the build for some of these shows.
Stories.
Yeah, that's all TV is anyways. I'm not expecting great matches on TV. You know, you expect kind of fun angles to happen, cool promos.
I'd like a good match at least. You have to sit there for 4 hours.
I would like a good match. Yes, I would appreciate one good match. I think we saw a good match on SmackDown tonight. New Day versus Sheamus and Ridge Holland in a tables match. I thought that was good. Sheamus and Ridge Holland wind up winning. They put Woods through a table after Butch, who was missing. And I think last week I called Butch their Hornswoggle. And this week, he literally appeared from under the ring. He is Hornswoggle.
A little bit, yeah, kind of.
A little bit? This guy shows up from under the ring. He's the smallest guy in the group. I mean, he's Hornswoggle. They've turned Pete Dunne into Hornswoggle. A slightly more intimidating Hornswoggle. Slightly. So that's what's going on there. The match was pretty good, though. I liked it. Kofi's trust fall off the ropes, just jumping with his feet and legs over the top rope, turns backwards and lands on, I think, Sheamus. What the
f- Yep.
That was incredible. It's incredible. That beats anything Rey Fénix can do. Because it makes sense what he's doing, Kofi.
Yeah, again, though, you didn't see that reverse Spanish fly, though. That was pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, cool, but it doesn't make sense because both guys have to participate.
But the way he set it up is pretty good. Like, I give Rey Fénix a lot of credit. Kofi's very good, too, and I like that little dive he did where he hit Sheamus and the barricade fell down.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff in this match. Like, this
Kofi's
was definitely
great.
The best match on SmackDown. Not the best tables match I saw, but on SmackDown, this was easily the best thing we saw.
Yeah. And I'm not surprised because Kofi and Xavier Woods, and of course Big E, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, tag team of all time. So why wouldn't they have a great match tonight?
I just hope we're done with this because we've seen this match more than enough times already. So let's please move on.
Big E had a health update.
I didn't hear it during SmackDown.
No, he posted on his Twitter something today that made me a little sad. Let me just show you this quickly. There's Big E. For those desirous, is that a word? Desirous of an update? My C1 apparently isn't healing optimally. I'll spend another 4 to 6 weeks in a brace in hopes that I can avoid a fusion. But don't you fret. I've got a tremendous support system, and what shall be, shall be. So, not healing as well as hoped. Disappointing. Thoughts with Big E. We love Big E.
It's sad. Like, there's a possibility, sadly, that maybe he's wrestled his last match.
Yeah.
And even if he does come back, who knows if he'll ever be full-time again. Because you saw guys, too, when they come back from neck injuries. You've seen Edge come back, but, you know, Edge still isn't wrestling like he used to. I don't think he can.
No, but at least he's wrestling. You know, I hope Big E can wrestle again. I really do. I really do.
Also, look how long that took for Edge to come back from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but you got to love the New Day. Love seeing Kofi and Woods keeping on, doing their thing. They lose tonight, but, you know, what are you going to do? They continue their feud with Sheamus, Ridge, and Butch. They're not booked on the card this week, but the bloodline is Roman Reigns and the Usos against Drew McIntyre and RK-Bro. I thought the promo was pretty good with Drew McIntyre, Riddle, and Randy Orton. You might be surprised, but I actually thought it was fine. Riddle asking them, you know, Drew McIntyre comes to the ring. He's like, Long Island or Strong Island, acknowledge me. And then Riddle's like, whoa, 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 don't say that. Let's talk about what we all acknowledge. And Riddle's like, I acknowledge that Randy's my best friend. And he's got the most muscular legs in all of WWE, which I thought was pretty good. Talking about how muscular Randy was. And then Drew and Randy talking about how they traded the WWE title. Kind of, you know, I beat you for the title and then I took it back. You know, Randy's like, oh, I took the belt from you. And then he's like, oh, and then I took the belt back. And they're like, acknowledge, I acknowledge that. I like that whole acknowledge thing. And then Drew's like, Roman Reigns, I acknowledge that Roman Reigns is the biggest piece of crap in the world. And I was like, all right, dude. I kind of took the whole buzz out of the promo. But up until that point, I enjoyed it. I thought they had fun chemistry there, Randy and Drew and Riddle. Not bad.
I actually enjoyed the Raw promo more, actually. I don't know if you caught that one.
I did. But remind me what the hell that was. I know I watched it, but I don't recall.
It was a while ago, I know. But like the Bloodline came out, and they said, acknowledge me. And then the Usos got attacked with two RKOs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had Drew come out to confront Roman.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. Like, they confronted him, but not much came out off from that. But
was there a promo, though? Did they talk?
I think Roman said a couple of things. Heyman said a couple of things, but they pretty much got ambushed. The whole thing was like they were right when they said acknowledge me, bam, the RKOs came.
Yeah. So you like that better?
I like that because like you're like, oh, this is gonna be the usual setup kind of thing, and then like, no. Cut down. This is just like them making fun of the whole acknowledge thing. I mean, like that's okay, but I actually like the Raw one more because that was more of like, oh, that was a bit of a surprise, and they kind of needed to get that over as well.
I suppose. I mean, they got the guys over again tonight. Roman and the Usos showed up. They start attacking RK-Bro and Drew. They get Randy and Riddle out of the ring. They isolate Drew. Looks like they're going to take over. Riddle comes back in, RKOs Jey Uso. Randy RKOs the other Uso. Drew hits his Claymore kick on Roman, stands tall, and that was the end of SmackDown. I thought this got the point across, and I didn't hate the comedy. I was expecting to really dislike the promo, but I didn't. I thought it was fine. You can tell Randy's having fun. He's very relaxed out there. He's not bad. He's not bad these days. Him and Riddle. Like, you know, Riddle's not being as stupid and goofy as he was before, and Randy's not treating him as poorly as he used to. That whole kind of relationship didn't make sense to me because Randy was just so rude to him all the time and hit him with RKOs for no reason and, like, disappeared from the tag team for a while, and Riddle would just get beat up on his own. I was like, well, why does Riddle put up with this guy? But now Randy is kind of, like, there with Riddle more often, and he seems to like him and says he's, you know, friends with Riddle. It's a tag team that makes more sense to me now, you know? Randy seems, like, a little happier. Riddle before was, like, all happy, and Randy seemed just pissed off to be there. But stayed in the tag team for no particular reason. But now he's, like, you know, he likes Riddle, so you get it. They smoke weed together. They're buddies.
Well, you saw the merch. He had the RK-Bro 420.
Yeah. They're the weed guys. You know, Drew said something about joint something in his promo, right? They're the weed guys in WWE. I think Randy likes being the weed guy. I think Randy's always been a weed guy, and now he likes being, you know, acknowledged as a weed guy. A lot of perks.
Well, it's always been his thing.
That's my dream, is to be a weed celebrity, because people give you weed all the time. That's one of my dreams, John. I want to be a weed celebrity. You know, like Snoop Dogg and shit, people give that guy weed all the time. Willie Nelson, you know, Tommy Chong. People know those guys smoke weed, so they're like, hey, man, you want some weed? And you're like, yeah, all right, give me some fucking weed. I bet you people are giving weed to Matt Riddle. I bet you people see Riddle and they're like, hey, Riddle, here's the, you know? Hey, Randy, you know, now Randy's probably getting all sorts of free weed. Goes to those legal weed states, goes to a dispensary, people hooking Randy Orton up left and right. Must be sweet. That's my dream, John. I just want people to know that I smoke weed and want to give me free weed all the time. That is a fantasy.
Well, I think Riddle's going to enjoy some free weed because...
Good for him.
He's got a nasty divorce coming up, so...
What?
You didn't hear about that?
No. Oh, boy. What happened? Yeah. He's getting divorced?
Well, like, he left his kids and all that, like... Because, like, he moved to Florida and they're, I believe, in L.A. or California, like... They're, you know, in the West, he's in the East Coast, and he was like, you know, saying, oh, I'm having a great time here. And I guess his wife was like, yeah, well, you left your kids back here. And yeah, they're broken up now.
Whoa.
Yeah. And yeah. Then the horse, of course, the whole thing that before about his scandal and all that before.
Yeah, there's been some messy stuff in the Riddle personal life that you kind of. It's hard to know what to believe, but I don't think I believe Matt Riddle. You know?
Hopefully it gets a good settlement, because you don't want her saying things, because I'm sure she has some nasty stories, possibly.
Oh. Yeah. Could be bad. Could be bad for Riddle. We'll see.
Three kids, it's bad no matter what.
Yeah, it's not good. That sucks. Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura did a thing. Shinsuke wants revenge on Roman because the Bloodline took out his partner, Rick Boogs. And Sami Zayn was like spying on Nakamura's promo like it wasn't on TV and everybody saw it so that he could go tell Roman Reigns what Nakamura did. And then he goes and tells Paul Heyman that he's going to handle Nakamura tonight. And then they have a match, and Sami wins by count out. Sami's like outside the ring trying to avoid the match. Shinsuke goes to bring him back into the ring. Sami hits him with his Helluva kick, runs back into the ring to beat the count and win by cheap count out victory over Shinsuke. I'm not sure what the hell this is with Shinsuke and Sami and the whole Sami Roman Reigns thing. I think it's just to give Sami something to do. I don't really have another explanation unless they're trying to gear up Shinsuke for a match against Roman down the road, possibly. But it seems like Drew is next, so I don't know where Shinsuke fits into this whole thing. Unless this is just a reason to give Shinsuke and Sami a reason to have a few matches? I don't know.
I really feel it's just to help build up Sammy's character that he's the snitch pretty much for Roman. And like, I think he's also the guy that builds up Roman's next opponent pretty much. Like, I think besides Corbin, he's like the next big heel on SmackDown. Right. So like, I think he's the help build them up. And Corbin, for the most part, they protect him pretty well. So like, he doesn't usually face a lot of guys. Like, he lost to McIntyre. That was about it, though. So maybe, I guess, after he's done with Madcap Moss, I guess Moss is going for the title.
No. I think Shinsuke makes more sense.
He's got to beat Corbin, though.
I think he could just beat Sammy. Maybe he'll beat Corbin. I don't know. Hasn't he already beat Corbin? Didn't they have a whole thing with those guys?
Didn't Corbin beat him in the end, though?
Probably. Who cares? How about the Bloodline? Roman and the Usos against Drew and RK-Bro. This will probably be the main event because Roman Reigns. I think the Tribal Chief wins because he's the Tribal Chief. Plain and simple.
Really?
Yeah. Have Roman win everything. That is the key to WWE. Roman wins everything. Oh, you think that We're going to have Drew beat Roman in this match because it's non-title and we're setting up a title match where Drew has to look strong. Pfft. Nope. Drew's going to look however he looks. He'll have a couple moments where he hits a claymore on Roman and Roman powders out of the ring like he did tonight. But in an actual match at a premium live event, a victory over the Tribal Chief and the Usos? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think it should happen. Roman wins in the end every goddamn time. I don't care if it's a non-title six-man. They win. And then at the pay-per-view in 4 weeks at Hell in a Cell, Roman beats Drew again. The Usos beat RK-Bro again. And the Bloodline keeps on marching towards WrestleMania and The Rock next year. Keep on marching forward. Win everything at all costs.
Well, I agree. I don't think Roman's going to get pinned, but I could see like what Derek John's saying, like an Uso might get pinned. I can see Drew pinning like Jimmy Uso, and that's fine. You know, it makes it seem like, oh, the Usos are kind of weak going into their title match, and Drew looks strong going into his. So I think that works.
Smash them and stack them.
Right. I mean, most cases I would say that. It's just because it's non-title. It's like you can actually give the faces something for once. So why not?
Why? Didn't give Big E just a win when it was non-title. It's Survivor Series against Roman.
Right. We've been this Wave 2 with Drew and Roman before too, but that's when Roman was just starting off too. I feel like they need to give Drew something here.
I don't. He gets to step into the island of relevancy. That's enough.
I mean, if
you like
if
that
he can't
one,
get
John,
a win
you
here,
like that one. The island of relevancy? Come on, baby. That's
no,
a good Roman
good.
Line. I'm throwing them all at you right now, John. I'm slipping them all in.
It's very good. There's no question. Like Roman's like the best thing in WWE, but it's one of the rare times where they don't have to win. I say give the people something to be happy with at the end. It's one of the few times you actually get to do it. Do it.
I don't think you should.
I agree as well most of the time, but
I don't know,
in
man.
This case, I'm like,
look,
you gotta give
I watched
the
SmackDown
something.
Tonight. Okay, when Roman comes out, I don't care who's supposed to be the good guy, who's supposed to be the bad guy. When the Tribal Chief comes out, you see how many people in the crowd are like this?
Of course.
With the figure in the air? Everybody.
Right.
Doing the Roman Reigns salute,
should.
Acknowledging the Tribal Chief, everybody in the crowd. At this point, I think everybody's kind of like me. They're like, we like WWE.
Up.
We're just like, all right, Roman, you beat Brock. You're the guy. There's nobody else. You're the man by default. You are the man by default, and we acknowledge that. There's nobody else. Freddie Garcia was talking to me this week. He's like, why is it Roman? Why isn't it AJ Styles or Kevin Owens? Why aren't they the guy? And I said, Fred, I acknowledge you, and I don't disagree with you. I think Kevin Owens is a far superior performer in many ways than Roman Reigns. And AJ Styles in the ring could wrestle circles around Roman Reigns. But who would you rather see on a poster? Roman Reigns, baby! Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, they don't have that look that Roman Reigns aura. It's something else. And, you know, that's just the way it is. I may not agree with it. I may not like it. But I will acknowledge it. I acknowledge it. He is who he
Step
is.
Forward.
He has become what he has become, and the WWE has made him that. They have put the full force of the machine behind him. And here he is, finished product. After WrestleMania, after the Brock match, he feels more like a finished product than ever. We're on the road to The Rock now, finally. You know, like, all that Brock stuff felt like just a bump in the road. Like, okay, you're calling yourself the tribal chief. You're the head of the family, head of the table. We all know The Rock's your cousin. People know him. We're building towards that. Can we get there? And after he got over Brock, it's like, okay, next WrestleMania, this is it. So now it's like, this is where it gets really interesting. It's like the build to The Rock. I think that's why I'm into Roman more now, because it's like, we're done with Brock and we're going to the real thing now. The Dwayne match, you know? This is the real one. It's going to take a while, but, you know, at least we're heading in that final direction where things get interesting.
Yeah, it's just like you said, it's going to take a while. You got quite a few premium live events to get through before you get there. So,
and they'll all get be ready. Filler. All filler for Roman. None of them matter.
I mean, the stadium shows will be good, though, I think. They'll try to make them good, at least.
I don't believe that Roman will lose the title in any of those matches, though. So the outcome is kind of understood before you see it. And if he does lose the title, you know, I'll be pissed because you've sacrificed everything, built everybody, or built, you know, everything around Roman. So don't have him lose now. We're almost at the finish line. Don't drop the ball. Let's go. All right, what else is on this goddamn card, John? So you got the Bloodline winning? No, I got the Bloodline winning. You don't. You got the other guys?
You do.
Yeah,
I got the other guys, yeah.
I think it's going to be Spear on Riddle. Or maybe he makes Riddle, like, he chokes Riddle out. That would be great, because Riddle has said all this stuff about Roman, you know? How if it was real, he'd beat him up and da-da-da. Roman should put him in a guillotine choke and choke him out in the match and be like, yep, this is what happens. That would be great. I hope they do that finish. It would crack me up.
I wouldn't mind seeing it. I wouldn't mind seeing it, but I'm just not thinking that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But if I'm wrong, that's a good thing to be wrong about.
Yes, I agree with that. I get it. Cody versus Seth Freakin, the rematch from WrestleMania. This was my favorite match of the whole WrestleMania weekend. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, I don't want to see it again. It's like, yeah, leave well enough alone. It was good. I don't need to see it again. And the build to it, it's like, you know, whatever they've done. I wasn't ready, Cody. You knew that the match was happening, but I didn't, and your father sucks at wrestling. And Cody's like, I'm here because of my daddy, and I want to be champion. And Seth Rollins, I respect you, but I'm going to get you. And I like Cody's promos. I think they've been good, you know, but I think Cody has to win, and I just don't care to see it again. But I think Cody has to win. Because you can't lose your second big pay-per-view match. You win your first one, you got to keep it going. Especially since he's talking about being the champion. You can't talk about being the champion as part of your gimmick and then lose your second pay-per-view match. It's like, oh, well, so much for all that, right? If he loses here, it's like, yeah, all right, you're going to be champion, Cody, sure. You know?
Like, I agree with you. He should win on Sunday. However, WWE logic is a little bit different, where they're like, well, 50-50 on things. And maybe in the end, it's like a little shady how it goes, but someone gets an advantage barely. So this could drag to another pay-per-view. Which they could very well do if Rollins wins, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it, like, I'm thinking Cody's going to win. Cody should win. However, I would not be surprised if Seth wins, because that's usually WWE's thing where it's like, well, he won the last one, so he has to win this one and then have a third one later on.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong. But I think Cody's going to win. He should win, but like you said, you never know. And even if Cody does lose, Seth Rollins is not the worst guy to lose to in WWE. He's one of their top guys, so it is what it is. AJ Styles versus Edge. AJ beat Damian Priest on Raw this week to make him banned from ringside. So it's AJ versus Edge one-on-one with no interference, just like it was at WrestleMania. Except Damian Priest interfered at WrestleMania, right? He wasn't banned, and that's when the group started? Is that what happened?
Yeah, there was no ban in place. Like, he just showed up. He was just at ringside, whatever.
Because there was no group. Edge didn't have the House of Edge yet.
Right.
Yeah. So it's AJ versus Edge now with no Damian Priest interference. Will someone else interfere on behalf of Edge? Will a new member of the House of Edge join? Rhea Ripley has been rumored. Will this be the time where Rhea Ripley attacks AJ Styles? I don't know about that.
Not her. Someone else, though, in the group.
I didn't see Christian on Dynamite this week. Is he still with AEW?
I saw Christian. Was there.
I didn't see him. Okay, I guess it won't be Christian. So who then? Gangrel? I mean, who could they pull out? Probably a new younger guy. Ciampa? Maybe Ciampa? Chain Ciampa?
Yeah, maybe him. You know, some from NXT. It's always possible. They have more than enough people that they could pull it off with. But I think news is going to show up. You know, the lights will go off. Something like that is going to happen. AJ's going to get screwed again.
Derek John says, Ciampa. Chain Ciampa. I could see that. I don't know.
It makes sense.
AJ gets screwed again by Edge and his goons. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
This match could be good. I hope it's better than Mania. Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss are going to wrestle on this thing. They did a promo tonight, and it was not good. I didn't like it. I don't like anything about this or these guys or any of this. I think this match will suck. Skip.
Okay, but who do you think is going to win the match?
Skip, I said. I don't care. There's
no prediction?
The cap of Moss.
Yeah, I think him too, just because he just recently turned face. But again, WWE logic where it's like, well, he won the big thing at WrestleMania, so now we got to give Corbin something. But I think this is Madcap's like first big singles pay-per-view as a face, so he should win this first one.
I would prefer if he were Mad Cop Moss. I think Mad Cop Moss would be much better. Some sort of big boss man gimmick. Much better than whatever the hell he's doing. Shitty comedian Moss. Like, he's still telling jokes, and they're just as bad as they've always been, but he's supposed to be a babyface. What?
His entrance music says joke, like when it starts.
He is a joke. He's a hack comedian who wears the suspenders and everything and no shirt. It's ridiculous. What is his gimmick? Brendan Schaub? I don't understand.
He does kind of look like Brendan Schaub, doesn't he?
I think he's doing a Brendan Schaub gimmick. He's a shitty, jacked comedian who, like, some people like, I guess, but a lot of people think it's kind of shitty. I don't hate Brendan Schaub, but I think it's kind of a whole goofy thing. I'm not a fan of his comedy. I liked him when he fought in the UFC. He was all right. I think Madcap is doing a Brendan Schaub gimmick. I don't know. It sucks, though. It definitely sucks. I don't like him. I don't like Baron Corbin. I don't like any of that stuff. I don't like that they're wrestling on pay-per-view. I don't like that they get promo time every week. I don't like that they're in the WWE at all. I think this is the worst thing going in all of WWE, and that's saying a lot.
Ooh, I don't know about that. 24/7 stuff is pretty bad.
No, that's better than this. At least R-Truth is in that, and he's a good performer.
Did you see what the 24/7 thing was this week?
With Nikki Cross and Dana Brooke and...
Right.
Nah, that's fine with me. I don't care. This is worse. Because this is getting a match on pay-per-view. That's why it's worse. 24/7 is a joke thing that just gets some TV time on Raw, gets 2 minutes, and it's done. Sometimes it gets a little bit more, but for the most part, it barely exists. This is like a 5 to 10 minute promo on SmackDown every week and now a pay-per-view match. This is worse because there's more time invested in it. This is the worst thing going in the WWE. By far, this is the worst match for this whole pay-per-view. And this pay-per-view sucks. Look at this pay-per-view. Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey again. Whatever, should be fine. Cody and Seth again. Whatever, should be fine. Bloodline versus Drew and RK-Bro. Basically a SmackDown main event. Probably won't be very interesting. AJ Styles versus Edge. Rematch for Mania, should be whatever. Bobby Lashley versus Omos, should be whatever. Rematch for Mania, who cares? But Corbin versus Madcap, it's like, it's the worst thing on this card. Hence, the worst thing going in WWE today. The worst. One of the worst, most uninteresting pairings and feuds I've ever encountered. So boring. So terrible.
Well, I think you should be worried because, again, six matches, I believe, on Sunday. So they're probably going to stretch a lot of matches for time. This might go a good 10 minutes or more.
Oh.
And that might seem like a very long time for this match.
Well, I need a smoke break sometime, so whatever. I'll take that. Go smoke a joint and come back for RK-Bro, brother. Smoke a joint out of respect for Randy and Riddle. My buddies. Because this is going to suck. I guess Madcap wins, whatever, who cares. And what else do we have? Bobby and Almost. Notice Bobby calls him Almost. You know, this guy, half your roster can't pronounce his name. It's Omos. Everybody calls him Almost. Almost. Almost.
Well,
no one says
Riddle's
Omos.
Fault.
Is it Riddle's fault? Why?
Remember, because when Riddle came up with his name for like the Survivor Series team, he called him Almost.
Almost.
And then that kind of stuck for a while.
Well, Bobby called him Almost too. Almost.
Right. Well. Because, like, I think it got in people's heads a bit. I think commentary was doing it for a bit as well. So.
I don't understand how difficult it is to pronounce the guy's name. It's O-M-O-S. Omos. Everybody's pronouncing it correctly is pronouncing it Omos. That's how it's almost. Almost is wrong, and it sounds bad. It's clearly Omos. MVP's calling him Omos. And how hard is it to pronounce? You can pronounce Madcap Moss's last name, right? Moss? Just add an O. You know, like an O apostrophe, like O'Neal? O Moss. It's not complicated. O Moss. It's like you're saying Moss's name, just with an O before it. Not Almost. Anyways, I think Bobby won at Mania. I can't even remember. So Almost will win this time, right? Because he's got MVP with him, some sort of trickery, bamboozlery, some cheating. Cheating and trickery. I'm going with Almost to beat old Bobby.
Well, I'm thinking that, too, because I think it doesn't end here. Because, I mean, if Bobby won here, this thing would be over, right? And that would kind of be kind of crappy for MVP if he turned and then his guy lost right away. Like, he's got to show that he makes a difference.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. Don't care about this match, though. The whole Bobby Lashley babyface thing, it's like, yeah, all right. It's, I just don't know how far it goes for Bobby. He beat Cedric Alexander this week on Raw. Not that interesting.
Well, I could see them give him a shot against Roman. Not going to win, but I could see them build him up for a pay-per-view. Maybe even a stadium show.
Yeah, I could see that. I do want to mention the main event of Raw this week. I thought was probably the best match that I saw from WWE all week.
Really?
The six-woman tag, I thought it was really good. Bianca, Liv Morgan, and Asuka beat Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, and Sonya Deville. Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair just... they're better every week. Bianca, she suplexed Rhea at one point. It was unbelievable. She vertical suplexed Rhea Ripley. Just that alone was amazing. And Sonya Deville and I think Rhea Ripley hit a superplex on Bianca Belair that was really impressive too. I was just very impressed with Rhea, Bianca. Love seeing Asuka back in the ring. Becky Lynch didn't do that much. I think it was more to let the others shine. Like, Sonya even looked pretty good in this match. I thought this match was great. I thought it was a very good six-woman tag. And Liv Morgan getting the win was a surprise. You'd think Asuka or Bianca, but no, Liv got the win for her team. I thought this match was very good, and this was their WrestleMania Backlash match because none of those women are booked on this pay-per-view. Bianca Belair, the Raw Women's Champion, not booked. Becky Lynch, not booked. And the rest of them, same. Did you see the match? You didn't like the match, John? I thought it was pretty good.
I thought it was okay. I just thought the finish was kind of flat. Like, the way Liv won was just kind of, it was all right. Not great. Like, you have all these people in this match, and it just came down to Liv and Sonya at the end. And she just beat her. Usual kind of way to beat somebody. But you think, like, with so many people in there, it would be kind of like more complex finish.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Did you have a favorite match from the WWE this week? Because that was my favorite.
That's tough. What was my favorite match from WWE this week? There wasn't a lot of good, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I actually liked, I think it was Kevin Owens, and I think it was the Alpha Academy against the Street Profits and Ezekiel. I liked that match.
Yeah, it was
again,
not bad.
The greatest thing I saw, but it was all right.
I like the six-woman tag a little bit better, but yeah, I thought that was all right too. And as far as AEW, I think we're in agreement that Jeff Hardy-Bobby Fish match was our favorite this week.
Yeah, well, I think I'd probably pick the tables match over that six-man, actually.
The tables match tonight from New Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd still take the six-woman tag. How about that?
Okay.
I really liked it. I was impressed. I was impressed with, like, they were going for it. It was a moment. There was something going on there. It was something. I liked it.
I thought there were moments, but it's just, again, the end, when the ending's like that, it's just, I thought the ending could have been a bit more. That's the main event of Raw. Like,
yeah, the finish wasn't, you know, the greatest, most intricate, creative finish, but I just thought everybody worked so hard in the match. You could tell that they gave a shit about being in the main event of Raw. It meant something to them to main event the show. They know they're not booked for the pay-per-view. It felt like a big deal. Speaking of not booked for the pay-per-view, Sasha and Naomi, the women's tag team champions, will be defending against Shayna and Natty next week on SmackDown. So not on the pay-per-view. It'll be next week on SmackDown, the women's title defense. And Dave Meltzer is reporting that AEW has trios titles coming soon. So they're going to do six-man tag championship at some point. Apparently the belts are made. They're just waiting for the moment to get that things started, maybe a tournament or something?
Well, I think the big holdup, I don't know if Meltzer said it or not, but I think the holdup is they're kind of waiting for Kenny to come back, right?
Yes, he said that, I think. I believe that was part of his report. Because Kenny and the Bucks would be one of the teams and perhaps the first champions.
Well, it's definitely going to come down to them probably and Moxley, Danielson, Wheeler more than likely.
Yeah. Tons of trios, though, right? I mean, you got the House of Black. They're three guys. You've got several more that I can't think of right now. You know,
Jurassic
Express. The Death Triangle, the Jurassic Express there with Christian. Several. Eddie Kingston and Santana and Ortiz.
Right.
A lot of, like, three-man teams.
I mean, the Pinnacle, I mean, you could say it, but, I mean, it's kind of weird right now with them.
Yeah.
In a sense, because half of them are faces.
Yeah, right? MJF is and Sean Spears are the heels, and then FTR kind of the baby faces. And Wardlow's no longer part of the group. Pinnacle's a weird group right now. I mean, even CM Punk, Darby Allin, and Sting could be a trio, so. A lot of trios.
You got the Gun Club as
in
well.
AEW. Yeah. Andrade's guys, possibly. Butcher Blade and somebody. The Ass Boys, like you said there. A lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
No, those titles make sense. Like, you know, I mean, I remember looking back on it. I think was WCW had those titles, and it was like, oh, it's too much to have that. But at this point for AEW, it makes a lot of sense. Maybe even more so than having tag titles. It just feels like there might be more three-man teams, and there actually is like tag teams almost.
There's a
or
lot
maybe
of,
on par at least.
A lot of three-man teams. I think you need tag team titles though. Like it has to exist if you're having a wrestling promotion.
Oh yeah, but I feel like this works too though. This could definitely work as its own thing.
Yeah, I don't hate the idea of trios titles. I just have seen how they've worked in like WCW and New Japan Pro Wrestling, and it's just never a focus. And it's kind of in the background, and it's a thing, but it's not really a thing, and they don't really mean anything. So I don't know if it'll work. I haven't seen it ever work well in wrestling, not to say that I don't like the idea. You know, I think it's a good idea, and it has potential. I just have never seen it pulled off correctly for any length of time. You know, you have spurts where it's like, oh, this trio is a good trio and they're doing something with the belts, and then it's like, well, they drop it to these guys who are just kind of three guys put together, and there go the belts. You don't see them for a couple months. So I don't know if it'll work, but I'm hoping for the best. Hoping for the best, prepared for the worst. It's the Ringside Report Network. I will be back here tomorrow night with Freddie and AJ for UFC 274. Did you see the deal with Charles Oliveira today, John? Crazy.
Missed weight, right?
Lost the title on the scale.
Well, you can get it back, though.
No. Stripped.
Well, stripped, but if he wins the fight, he's going to be the number one contender again.
Yeah, but he's not champion.
Right, but he can get it back. Like,
how crazy
just have to
is
win.
That? Never happened in the history of the UFC. Champion shows up, half a pound over, can't make weight, like, shows up overweight, send him back, cut more weight, comes back, half a pound over, he's at the time limit, that's it, they strip him of the belt, right there, they say, well, you can't fight for the belt, you're not the champion anymore, so Gaethje is fighting for the championship, if he wins, he's 155-pound champion of the UFC, if Oliveira wins, Oliveira is the champion, Chucky Olives, as we know him, if Chucky Olives wins, championship is vacant, but probably Chucky Olives winds up in a, you know, title fight in his next fight where the title's on the line and it's vacant and he's not the champion, but, you know, he is. Because everybody sees him as the champion right now, and if he beats Gaethje, he won't technically be the champion, but the UFC will put him in a title fight in his next fight because they have to. And everybody around the world will recognize him as the champion because he was champion when he walked in and he was only half a pound over and he winds up beating Gaethje, so, you know, in the main event too. So it's a title fight, but it's not a title fight. Oliveira's the champion, but he's not the champion. It's weird. It's a weird situation. Never seen this before. Seen it with a challenger. With Anderson Silva when he was the champion and Travis Luter, who was a challenger. Luter missed weight. They still fought, but Luter couldn't win the title. But I've never seen the champion lose the belt on the scale. That's a first. Pretty nuts. So we'll be watching UFC 274 tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time, right here on the Ringside Report Network. Freddie and AJ will be here with me. We'll be watching UFC 274 live on pay-per-view at 10 Eastern on a Saturday night. Looking forward to that, Doug says. Doug Hepburn has been a member of the team for 16 months. Thank you, Doug. He says he's excited for the UFC Premium live event. See you tomorrow, Dave. Thank you, Doug. You know, they're not pay-per-views anymore for anybody. They're premium live events. Well, they're actually pay-per-views for the UFC. Man, I wish it was a premium live event. I wish my subscription to UFC Fight Pass gave me the pay-per-views for free. That would be nice. That would make life way easier. That's why you got to support the Ringside Report Network. Become a member, join.ringsidereport.net. Or you could also hit us up on Super Chat like Harold Schneider did, like Doug Hepburn did. Thank you, guys. Harold, you are the Super Chat leader of the night. And you could also hit us up on Super Thanks as well. If you're
super
watching
thanks.
This.
Super Thanks, what's that?
Yeah, Super Thanks. After the show, when the show is over. There you go. On the replay of the show, where there's the like, dislike, share button, right next there's a thanks button where you can drop some coin there as well and support the Ringside Report Network and support this show. So there's the Super Thanks. It's kind of like a super chat, but it's for the replay of the show, and you can support the network that way. I know a lot of people don't watch the show live. They watch it on the replay, so you could support the channel with the super thanks. And there's my brother with the logo. I like the little – I like that. It cracks me up every time I see it. Every time I see it, I'm like, look at that guy. What is he doing? Oh, give it to me again. Can you give it to me again? Where is he?
I'm sure it comes and goes, doesn't it?
Oh, I'm going to get it again. Give it to me again. Yeah. Hey, why not super thanks? Huh? Huh? I would super thanks. Hunky B would do it for you. Oh, I love it. Every time it cracks me up. Oh, I love that guy. What a guy.
It feels like he's complaining about Randy again, it looks like. Why Randy?
Oh, that's great. He's going to be with me Sunday night after WrestleMania Backlash. Big weekend on the Ringside Report Network. Working hard for you this weekend. I'm exhausted, so we're going to shut it down. I'm so tired. So tired, John. My baby girl is now 4 weeks old. My son
wow.
is nearly five. And
looks
I did
like
two jiu-jitsu sessions this week. I've been working hard. And we got four shows in a row on the Ringside Report Network. It's a lot going on here. A lot going on. And I couldn't do it without the support of my family helping me out and taking care of the kids when I can't be there. A lot of support. Don't forget Mother's Day this weekend, Sunday, okay? Mother's Day this weekend. Johnny told me last week, and Johnny, I took care of it, all right? I got it all taken care of now. Don't you worry. Mother's Day, Sunday.
That's good.
Don't forget. And Backlash 2 and all that stuff. So tomorrow night, UFC 274 watch along, 10 p.m. Eastern time on a Saturday. And then right after WrestleMania Backlash, I'll be back here with my brother to recap the whole thing. Johnny won't be with us for some reason. I'm not sure why. I don't think you gave me the specific reason, but that's okay. You don't have to if you don't want to.
Well, just we have a mutual friend that needs some help. So
what kind of help?
Oh, I can't get into that yet, unfortunately, but I'll let you know once it's done.
All right, then. Okay. So We will see you tomorrow night here for UFC 274. And if you don't like UFC, watch us anyways, because it's going to be a good time. But if you're only going to watch us on Sunday, then do that, okay? For WrestleMania Backlash. Thank you, everybody, for supporting the channel and tuning in. Shout out to the members, Doug Hepburn, Derek John, Harold Schneider, Franco316, all the members of the team that I saw supporting the channel here tonight, watching us live on a Friday night. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Join.ringsidereport.net for everybody else. Join.ringsidereport.net or click that join button beneath me. I'm Dave. He's Johnny. We'll see you again real soon here on the Ringside Report Network.
Please join in and give your support to Ringside Report Network. We've been providing expert coverage.